Wednesday, the 14th day of December 2016. Man, we've only got, 11 days until Christmas coming up? Yep, 11 days from now, you'll be waking up to all your goodies under the tree. Sounds good to me. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Don't forget, coming up at 720 and 920, we're going to give you a chance to pick a bulb off the WTMA Christmas tree. Irving the Elf is going to come out and smash that bulb, and hey, whatever's in it, you will win, including and up to a one-night stay at the Sanctuary out there in Kiowa. That's pretty darn nice. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program again. A sad story, as Alan Thicke has passed away at the age of, 69? Apparently he had played tennis with one of his sons when he collapsed and suffered a fatal heart attack. So, and Alan Thicke, one of those guys that did a lot more than you think he did. In fact, he was the writer of a lot of the television theme songs that we're so familiar with. Here are a few of them.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some. They got different strokes and takes, different strokes and takes, different strokes to move the world.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life.
We have
the facts of life.
The joke is wild. And now here's the host of our show, Jack Perry.
Anybody know that one? That one I don't know. I have no idea what that one is. But yeah, Alan Thicke, Different Strokes, Facts of Life, Joker's Wild, Wheel of Fortune, wrote all of those theme songs. I'm sure he made plenty of money off of those alone. So passing away at the age of 69, that's very, very sad story this morning. Again, I mean, the guy was just phenomenal in the amount of talent that he had. And he will be missed. 2016 continues its rampage on some of our celebrities out there. All right, more on this coming up. Also going to be telling you about a local government worker who's been living in a home rent-free for what, I think the past decade? We'll tell you about that. That's an amazing story. We got that for you. Also, Kanye met with Donald Trump at Trump Tower. That's raising the eyebrows of a lot of people out there. So we'll have that story for you coming up in a few minutes. Vanessa Hudgens is 28 years old today, star of High School Musical. Also having birthdays today, Cliff Williams, the recent retired bassist from AC/DC. Bill Buckner is 67. He played 22 seasons in the major leagues. Joyce Vincent Wilson, remember her? She's 70, from Tony Orlando and Dawn. Hal Williams is 78 years old today. He was Officer Smitty on Sanford and Son. Patty Duke was born on this day in 1946. Nostradamus was born on this day in 1503. French physician, astrologer, prophet. And a lot of prophecies were attributed to him over the years. We got 11 days until Christmas, 17 days until New Year's Eve, 37 days left of hope and change, and we've got 53 days left until Super Bowl 51. 63 years ago, 1953, 19-year-old Sandy Koufax signed with the Brooklyn Dodgers. What's more amazing is that he had only played about 20 baseball games in his entire life when they signed him. How about that? It was on this day in 1977, Saturday Night Fever premiered in New York City. The movie was, of course, instrumental in spreading the disco craze. Hey, watch the hair. Don't touch the hair. 1980, Yoko Ono called for a 10-minute silent vigil around the world at 2 o'clock Eastern for John Lennon, who was murdered in New York City 6 days before. 1992, Merle Haggard and his wife Teresa Lane had a baby that they named Binion Luis Haggard. That same day, Merle filed for bankruptcy. Yeah, probably knew what was coming. All right, that's what happened on this. Oh, and it was on this day in 1999, Charles Schulz announced that he was retiring the Peanuts comic strip after 50 years. That's what happened on this day in history. Lots for you this morning. Keep it right here on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
It's the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James. Charlie James on WTMA.com and 1250 WTMA.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Coming up at 7:10, we're going to be talking with Attorney Juan Tolley because just more testimony in the Dylan Roof trial, and apparently, and I didn't know your GPS, I guess on your car or whatever you're using, actually stores all of that information. I have no idea. Does Siri store your information when you ask her for turn-by-turn directions? Anyway, it looks like Dylan Roof actually came down to Charleston from the Columbia area about six times before he committed his act of violence and hatred there at Mother Emanuel AME Church. Six times. I don't know if this was a trial run. We don't know yet if these were actually, he was going to attempt the crime at that time, or if he was just trying to make sure he had the right route. Maybe they say a lot of some of the trips that he took down here, he took a lot of the back roads trying to get here. So still some questions unanswered. There's also that video of him practicing with that Glock 45 that he had purchased just shortly after he turned 21, purchased that up there in Columbia, and he was practicing with that. So, and just some of these pictures that his mom was presenting, how horrible for this woman. I mean, I really feel bad for this lady. She fainted in court, had a heart attack while they were having some of the opening testimony, and then she was presenting some of the pictures that she had of Dylan Roof. Some say that he was wearing a hood like a KKK member, and pictures of burning the American flag, pictures of the flag that flew at the State House in Columbia, and things like that. Just more horrific testimony yesterday in the trial. They're expecting a couple of more witnesses today, and this thing could go to the jury, I'm going to say maybe as soon as tomorrow morning. So by midday tomorrow, maybe tomorrow afternoon, We could have a verdict in the Dylan Roof case, but we'll get all the details on that coming up with Attorney Juan Tolley, again, coming up at 7:10 this morning. So you don't want to miss out on that. It's just one of those, I'll be glad to get this thing over with. Really, we need to get this off of our plate. And now they're saying the retrial for Michael Slager may not happen until the spring. And when you really think about it, April, I mean, we're talking about a matter of months, because they've still got the civil trial to go through with him. We've still got the state trial for Dylan Roof to go through. So we're not out of the woods on this thing yet. 25 minutes past 6 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
I'm nobody's fool, least of all yours.
On 1250 WTMA.
Today, high is going to be around 61, right? Sunday, we could be pushing 80. No wonder everybody's sniffling and coughing and choking and everything else. It's weather is brutal out there. It's just up and down, schizophrenic, bipolar. We don't know what's going on with it. So 61 today and near 80 on Sunday. So jacket today, shorts and t-shirt on Sunday. Perfect. Head out to the beach for that. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Over there in Mount Pleasant, they're having a bit of a squabble over a painting. Well, several, actually. And it is a painting there at the Moe's Southwest Grill at 900 Houston Northcutt Boulevard in Mount Pleasant. And some people are saying that this mural that has been painted on the side of the building needs to come down. In fact, the zoning administrator has determined that the mural has to come down. But Councilman Mark Smith said this is an example of too much government. We got too much government out there, and you shouldn't be telling local business owners how they ought to be running their business. Well, I'm sorry, sir. If it violates the zoning laws, then it needs to come down. I get so sick and tired of people thinking that they are above the law. And these people are on there. I saw them on Facebook last night. What about your First Amendment? What about, where does that come in, your First Amendment? No, this is not First Amendment rights. You're painting a picture of Marilyn Monroe on the side of your building. I don't believe is protected speech, especially when it's violating the city ordinance. But there's always somebody that wants to whine about it just because something's pretty. And these are the same people. And I'm a little disappointed in Lynn Bennett. She's up there. She's saying, this is another example of too much government. Now, Lynn was the one out in Shadow, was one of the people out in Shadow Moss that was against their homeowners association because the homeowners association was, oh, I don't know, enforcing the covenants of the neighborhood and fining people when they didn't, oh, I don't know, pay their assessments when they violated the covenants and the restrictions that they signed to. I hate when people try to just skirt the law because they think they're above it. They think they're above it. Okay, all right, so here's what we'll do. Instead of John Lennon, Al Capone, and Marilyn Monroe on the side of this building in Mount Pleasant, what if we had Che Guevara? What if we had, oh, I don't know, Fidel Castro? What if we had, oh, we'll just say Osama bin Laden, and they were painted on the side of this building? Would you feel the same way? Would you be so apt to defend this building? Would that be the case? No, I think everybody would be screaming about it. Everybody would be absolutely screaming about it. But because it's, I mean, first of all, you got Al Capone, a gangster, killed thousands of people. There you go. And we got John Lennon, legendary icon, Marilyn Monroe, icon. And I don't know what those three things have to do with each other. But anyway, I'm not an art critic, nor will I attempt to get into the mind of the artist. But I can get in the mind of the zoning board in Mount Pleasant and say, listen, that you have just violated the zoning laws. Has got to come down. What you need to do, you need to go down to Lowe's, get you a 5-gallon bucket of Kills, get you a roller, roll it over, and paint something on there that actually complies with the zoning laws in Mount Pleasant. Oh, it's a fine piece of work, and I'm sure you paid a lot of money for it. But that does not negate the fact that it was a violation of the zoning laws. It's just like if your neighbor, all right, so what if your neighbor did that? And this is where we get into the whole homeowners association. What if your neighbor decided they were going to paint a big mural on the side of their house? Because some people out there actually have no taste, believe it or not. What if they decided to paint a big Clemson paw right there on their, what if they put that on their roof of their house? And then they had a big Dabo Swinney right there on the side. And they had Deshaun Watson's picture right there on the side of their house. And then when people, and then you decide to sell your house and people are driving through going, yeah, I'm not living there. I'm not living next to that guy. So your property values go down and now it's affecting your pocketbook and you get all upset. Of course, it's all to do with you, right? I don't want to obey the law because I want paisley shutters on my house. That's what I want. I think I ought to have it. 15 minutes until 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie's talk line is hot right now. 843-556-1250. More with Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show next.
More about the mural over there in Mount Pleasant coming up next hour, because it's got a lot of people with the, it's got their necks out of joint on this thing. I think my thing is, you know what? If you're going to be a good law-abiding American, abide by the laws. That's pretty simple to me. And then you get all these people. Well, maybe we'll talk about it now. And then you get all these people that they claim that they're good conservative Republicans. Well, I'm a good conservative. I'm certainly a good conservative. All right, well, what does that mean? To me, if you are a conservative, you are one of these people out there that says, all right, well, you know what? I may not like the law, but I'm certainly going to abide by it. I may not like the law, but I'm not going to go out and break it just because I don't like it. So what's next? And what we're talking about, if you just tuned in, there's a mural over on a business in Mount Pleasant now, and there's one down on King Street, too. A barbecue restaurant down there, and they painted these giant murals on the side of the building. Well, how in the world does that fit in with the community? I mean, if you drive down King Street in Charleston, and you know, there's supposed to be something down there that says, hey, this is a historic city. Why don't we not put murals on the side of the building? Why do we, you know, kind of leave them in their historic state? Why don't we do that? Well, I want a big old mural on the side of my building wall so people come by and see what my building is. So these people get all upset, and they go, and then when the bar or the zoning board tells them to take it down, then all of a sudden it's a First Amendment. Well, those are my First Amendment rights. I don't think the founding fathers were talking about a mural on the side of your burrito restaurant when they wrote the First Amendment. So, but back to this, if you are, in my mind, a conservative, you're one of these people who says, listen, I may not like the law, but I'm certainly not going to break it. I'll tell you what I will do. I will use the power of the ballot box to put in a representative that agrees with my point of view. And that's the way that we will take care of this and let them make the laws. That's their job. Your job as a citizen is to abide by the law, not to break it. Jim Clyburn doesn't think so. We'll tell you about that coming up. Jim Clyburn gave a commencement speech at the University of South Carolina. And I kind of found it pretty funny because now it's like President Pastides up there at the University of South Carolina said, yeah, I think from now on I'm going to give the commencement speeches around here. So it's an interesting story. We'll have that for you coming up right now. Here are your headlines in 60 seconds.
Alan Thicke has died of an apparent heart attack. The Canadian actor is also the father of singer Robin Thicke. Alan Thicke was 69 years old.
The president-elect picking ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson to be Secretary of State.
Critics argue his close ties to Russia and his president, Vladimir Putin, could pose a conflict of interest. Supporters, though, including former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, say Tillerson is the right man for the job.
Today's meetings included Microsoft's Bill Gates and Kanye West.
Dictator Bashar al-Assad gets his biggest victory in that country's blood-soaked civil war. Rebels in Aleppo, divided since 2012, effectively surrendered.
President Obama added his signature to the 21st Century Cures Act. The measure provides billions of dollars for medical research and treatment.
And I'm confident that it will lead to better years and better lives for millions of Americans.
Federal prosecutors making the case against Dylan Roof showed the jury surveillance imagery of Roof walking into the church where he shot and killed nine people.
On Wall Street, stocks pushed higher toward the symbolic 20,000 mark, the Dow gaining 114 points to close at 19,911.
19,911. That is the stock market. And all of that, thank you, Donald Trump. We appreciate that as the stock market goes soaring because he was elected president of the United States. And why is it the left right now is so up in arms about Russia? Why are you guys so up in arms? Why all of a sudden is national security an issue with the folks on the left. I mean, it's almost like, you know, everybody talking about hacking, it's almost like they would be, you know, concerned about, I don't know, maybe somebody having a private unsecured server. Maybe they would be upset about that. Possibly. I don't think that's one of it. Anyway. And then all of a sudden, oh, and they forgot a couple of things here. You know, they're talking about Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State nominee by Donald Trump, and his ties to Russia. They're concerned about that all of a sudden. Do you remember one Barack Hussein Obama at the end of his first term talking to one of the higher-ups there in Russia? I mean, they caught it all on tape. You can go check it out. Where he was sitting there, kind of leaned in, you know, kind of close. Saying, look here, once I get reelected, I'll have a lot more leniency to deal with you folks. So I don't remember them being all upset about that. Oh, and what about, this was kind of funny. What about the time that Hillary Clinton sold a huge amount of our uranium to Russia? Remember that? Yeah, that was, that was good times right there. That was fun when that happened. Yeah, well, nobody getting upset over that. You know, it's just a business deal. So, but Rex Tillerson, and this is what we're going to have for the next 4 years, folks. It's in the next 4 years. Every turn that Donald Trump makes is going to be scrutinized like crazy by the left. Even now they're talking about his meeting with Kanye West. Jimmy Kimmel talked about it last night.
That's right. Donald Trump met with Kanye West today. He does know he's not still hosting Celebrity Apprentice, right? But what an amazing thing to see our next two presidents side by side like that. It's remarkable.
So I'm just wondering, I mean, what is the left going to say now? What have they got to combat that? He met with Kanye West. I don't know why. I really don't have a big opinion on it. Fine, he met with Kanye. Cool. That'd be all right. There at Trump Tower, also met with Football Hall of Famer Jim Brown, who is a huge. Now, you got to say that Jim Brown works diligently for the African-American community. Diligently. So why did Jim Brown go on CNN a couple days ago and say that he fell in love with Donald Trump? Why did he say that? Maybe he knows something that the media doesn't want you to know. It's 6:59 at the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Please welcome to the program right now, Attorney Juan Talley. She is covering the Dylann Roof trial for us. Good morning, Juan. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Dramatic testimony yesterday. We found out that Dylann Roof, this wasn't his first trip to Charleston.
No, it wasn't. We had a GPS representative talk about the fact that Dylann Roof had come to Charleston on December of 2014.
Mm-hmm.
In April of 2015, and his third trip on June 17, 2015, when he carried out his plan of shooting the nine people at Emmanuel.
There was also some pretty dramatic video of him practicing with the gun that he had purchased in Columbia.
That's correct. There was a video of him doing target practice in what appeared to be his backyard.
Mm-hmm.
With a black T-shirt on and looked like camouflage pants with a set up, I guess, dummy or backboard for him to shoot at.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there were some pictures also that were from his mother?
Yes. When the Richland County Sheriff's Office went to his mother's house to search after the incident, they found that the mother showed him a camera with some pictures on it that mm-hmm. she thought he needed to see. There was also what appeared to be a Ku Klux Klan hood or a pillowcase that he was using as a hood, drawings of Nazi symbols, and bullets that he had purchased, and also a baby bunny wrapped in a Confederate flag.
Now, was that a picture?
Those were actual items, but there were some pictures of him in Confederate garb and with the Confederate flag and some other pictures.
I'm just wondering where you get a bunny with a Confederate flag on it. It was a strange thing to see.
It was.
So we're going to have some more testimony today.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the survivors of the shooting is actually going to give testimony, right?
Yes. Polly Shepherd, who is one of the survivors, is expected to be the last person that the prosecution calls in the case. But before her, probably the prosecutor will call the medical examiner to detail and document the deaths of each of the individuals. So that should be, that testimony should take a while, and it will be emotional, and the judge has already warned the families that if they want to excuse themselves, that that would be an appropriate time to do so.
Right. I can certainly imagine why that would be. Mm-hmm. So two folks on the stand today, and then the defense takes over, but that's not expected to take long, is it?
It's not expected to take long. It's been reported yesterday that possibly the defense will call three people. They haven't given any indication of who those people might be. They may try and backdoor in some of the mental health or character information that they've been trying to get in, since they won't have an opportunity to do it at the next phase.
Right. Now, when are we expecting this to go to the jury?
We're expecting it to go to the jury possibly by Thursday. And we'll see from there.
So we're talking tomorrow morning, the jury could start deliberating?
Possibly.
Wow.
Depending on how late the testimony goes today, the judge may want to break and do closing arguments in the morning and then have the case go to the jury in the afternoon.
Wow. This thing could be wrapped up by the weekend?
It could be wrapped up by the weekend, you know, unless they get hung up on the language like we had in the Michael Slager case, then it should be pretty straightforward.
Absolutely. So more drama expected today.
Exactly. Now, if he's convicted on these charges, the judge expects to recess until after the first of the year, possibly on January 3rd, when they would proceed with the penalty phase.
Okay. So we will not know the penalty until after the new year.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Well, Juan, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for being in the courtroom for us, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Juan Talley on with us. Again, Polly Shepherd, that testimony expected to be extremely dramatic this morning. I'm wondering if the judge is going to allow the, you know, they've had the live feed there in the courtroom. I wonder if he's going to allow that during the coroner's testimony today, because that certainly, you can imagine, is going to be pretty graphic and pretty just gut-wrenching. We'll find out. 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Sometimes you just gotta vent. We feel your pain and encourage you to share it. Lines are open right now at 843-556-1250. More of Charleston's local talk with Charlie James is coming up as the TMA Morning Show continues next.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
See, this story just kind of makes you cross your eyes a little bit. There was a North Charleston City employee who lived rent-free in city-owned housing for 6 years in a house. Now, this employee now earns about $76,000 a year, lived for free in a city-owned house because the city says it never made her sign a lease and forgot about it. And she never said a word to them. Now, I'm just one of these people that if I'm getting something that I know I'm not supposed to be getting, it's just, I don't know, I guess it's in my moral fiber that I'm going to say, hey, I kind of got this and I'm not supposed to. If I get back too much change and I notice it and I rarely count my change, I'm going to say something about it. So this person got to live in a house rent-free. Apparently they're going to she's agreed to pay back $36,650 in back rent to North Charleston. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. Let's go out to Charleston and talk to Edward. Good morning, Edward. How are you?
Doing good, good.
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
Well, talking about fake news.
Yeah.
Last night, Live 5 ran with the story about the Trump supporter teenagers that left a racist note for the waitress.
Right.
And then there were no more details, so I called the news desk and asked the girl, I said, so how do you know they were Trump supporters?
Yeah.
And she said, and then she said, hold on a second. So she came back and she goes, well, because they left a note that said, build a wall and go Trump, daddy.
Oh,
I said, so were they wearing Trump T-shirts and Trump signs? Or, I mean, I said, y'all only got one side of that. You got a waitress saying that, you know, somebody supposedly left a note, but you have no other proof of it.
And how many times, Edward, have we seen that actual Hillary supporters or people that are against Donald Trump have pulled off stunts like this and they turned out to be completely false?
Yeah, and that's what I asked her, and she didn't have anything to say. And then you go to their Facebook page on that article, and all it is how racist Trump people are.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, you know, it's starting up a whole, you know, nonsense that doesn't need to be brought up.
You are exactly right, but they just keep, you know what, if it makes the headlines, then that's what they're going to go with. Edward, I appreciate you calling in this morning. It's 25 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
The fact remains that certain events are strictly accidental.
On 1250 WTMA.
Let's go to the phones right now and talk with Robert Barra from the Post and Courier. Good morning, Robert. How are you?
Good morning, Charlie. I'm great. Thanks.
I'm glad to hear that. Well, I tell you what, getting some free housing for about 6 years, nice little perk over there in North Charleston, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the city has found, for at least one employee, a real solution to the affordable housing.
Yeah. So but they're going to have to pay it back, right?
Well, they're going to pay some of it back, in a sense. The story that we reported that Paul Bowers broke, we found out that the city's ombudsman moved into a city-owned house several years ago. That the sort of the deal at the time was that she was going to do some repairs and out of her own pocket, and then they would figure out a kind of a lease plan going forward. Well, they never figured out the lease plan until we stumbled across this arrangement in a larger request for documentation that brought it to the city's attention, and they were like, you better come up with the lease plan. And essentially, what it looks like they're approving is a deal where she will pay $800 a month going forward, but only $450 a month in back rent.
Okay. So is that total $800 a month?
Well, going forward.
Okay.
And then she'll be paying the back rent, I think, that will be deducted out of her check as well. So they are making it right, but it's a pretty embarrassing situation for them.
What if they just decide to leave?
That's a good question. And I guess that would be that would probably produce something that would end up back on their lawyer's desk.
How many of these homes out there does North Charleston have with people living in it?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, the cities of Charleston and North Charleston often buy dilapidated properties. Mm-hmm. There are federal monies available. They buy them, and then they may sell them to nonprofits or others who are willing to fix them up. There are a lot of these sort of, you know, well-intended housing programs out there. So we don't necessarily, in the story this morning, have a specific count as to how many of them. But it is pretty unusual for city to buy a house and then let one of their employees live there.
So they just forgot about it.
It just fell through the cracks.
Gotcha.
There's somebody said there's plenty of blame to go around. I mean, the city employee must have known she was getting a pretty sweetheart deal, and she didn't speak up. And anyway.
All right, so maybe they'll move into an apartment, but that's got a lot of people up in arms these days, right?
Well, that's true. New apartment construction is, of course, going at great guns across the area. We had a story a month ago saying about 6,000 units in Charleston alone are either under construction or on the books. And some of these projects are really causing sort of a growing kind of concern for nearby neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they understand the need for them. The problem is that the zoning is almost always in place.
Right.
There's not really much they can do other than to realize that their little corner of the city is going to change, you know, maybe pretty dramatically.
Yeah.
They see it.
Absolutely. Speaking of change, we got some new trolleys, dash buses downtown, we'll say. They got rid of the trolleys.
Yeah, they're no longer trolleys. These are pretty sleek new buses. This has been a long overdue change. The old trolleys were so old that they couldn't even order replacement parts.
Oh, wow.
So they had to build them. But they debuted just recently and are now out on the streets. And I think they look pretty sharp, though. You
just
get the little faux historical trolley feel that you did with the old vehicle.
Yeah, those were, kind of cheesy, I thought.
Yeah, but this is a smoother ride. It's that nice bigger windows, you know, lower doors. And most importantly for people who drive downtown, these are 6 inches narrower.
Whoa, well, that'll...
A little less chance that they'll need both lanes to go down the street.
And don't they do what they call kneeling? I mean, it'll actually lower the bus when you go to get on?
Yes, and these are actually much more wheelchair accessible.
Yeah. Yeah, so
too, which is important.
That's good stuff. Any news about these murals that they're painting around in Mount Pleasant and downtown? It's got so many folks up in arms.
Yeah, in Mount Pleasant, there's a couple of murals that are, the situation I think is still somewhat unresolved over there, but there are at least two murals that restaurants have painted on their side that, you know, just to try to sort of decorate their building.
Right.
According to the Mount Pleasant sign law, those murals must count toward the square footage of your permissible signage. And so basically both are being questioned now. There are appeals pending as to whether should they really be considered a sign or should there be some other exception to the town's rule.
There you go. All right, Robert, we appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Robert Barrow with the Post and Courier. Let's go to Brandon Lee in North Charleston. Good morning, Brandon. How are you?
Oh, very well. Thank you. Calling about this ombudsman lady living in free housing.
Yeah, Sherry Pearson.
Yeah, that Post and Courier guy should really be nailing the nail to the cross on this, man. If you give me a second, this person should have been a public advocate, usually appointed by government, with significant degree of independence, who is charged with representing the interest of the public by investing. She should be fired on the spot and flogged in town square.
Well, I don't know about the flogging part, but I mean, it is the responsibility as a city employee and especially as an ombudsman. You got to know you're living in free housing for the past 6 years, right? So she just remains silent about it. I don't know what the rent is. Nobody sent me a bill. Wouldn't she have raised some kind of a red flag to somebody in the department?
Just sounds like a breach of trust to me. You know, like, yeah, I agree with all that. And you take it easy, man.
All right. Thank you, Brandon. We appreciate it. Yeah, I am. That story just, $34,000 in back rent. $34,000 in back rent that the taxpayers have had to foot the bill for the past 6 years because somebody forgot to make her sign a lease. Yeah, no, not flying with me. It's, let's see, we'll go with, what is it? I've lost my bearings here. It's about 13 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
You're listening to the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James, all over the Lowcountry on 1250 WTMA and all over the world on WTMA.com.
The Christmas tree game. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. All right, give us a call right now. 556-1250 is the number. That's 556-1250. We have a Christmas tree here at WTMA, and it's full of glorious Christmas bulbs. It's beautiful. However, our station elf, Irving, for some reason, has this compulsion to smash the bulb. So whatever prize is in the bulb, you're going to win it. So you call, you pick a number between 1 and 18. If it hasn't already been taken, you will win the prize that's in the bulb. So let's go to caller number 5 right now and say, hey, good morning. Who is this?
This is Jerry.
Jerry, how are you this morning?
Very good. Very good.
All right, Jerry, pick a number between 1 and 18.
Okay, right now, pick it?
Yeah.
Number 9.
All right, Irving, are you ready to smash this bulb?
Boy, am I. I love smashing bulbs.
Okay.
Here we go. Smash, smash,
ow.
Smash.
All right.
Smash, smash.
Okay.
I love smashing bulbs.
I know you do. All right, number 9, Irving, tell him what he won.
You just won a River Dogs 2017 prize pack, including 4 tickets to a 2017 season home game, 4 hot dogs, 4 bags of chips, and 4 small sodas.
Yeah, how about that, buddy?
That's a great deal. I appreciate that very much.
Well, thank you for calling in and playing along with us. Again, that's 4 tickets to a River Dogs home game in 2017. You get 4 hot dogs, 4 bags of chips, and 4 sodas. How about, all right, man. Congratulations. And you have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm going to put you on hold. The G-Man is going to get some information from you. Did you enjoy doing that, Irving?
Oh, I love smashing bulbs.
Yeah.
I'm smashing your bulb next.
Yes, he is. He's going to be smashing your bulb right around 9:20 this morning, so be listening out for that. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. If you would like to join us, we would certainly love to have you. And, man, I tell you what, this story about the free housing over there in North Charleston, where the ombudsman in North Charleston, Sherry Pearson, who's been a longtime employee, serves as the ombudsman. She agreed to pay back $34,650 in back rent. Wow. Now, that's back rent on a ranch house over there at Ferndale. She moved in August 2010. It's 2016 now. That's 6 years of absolutely 100% free rent. Yep, that's right. So she paid $8,400 of that sum up front in November when the issue came up, and is going to pay back the rest plus 2.5% interest with monthly deductions from her paycheck. And I guess that's... But I mean, like I was asking Robert Barra a few minutes ago, what happens if she decides to leave? What happens if she just says, you know what, I don't want to live here anymore. I'm not going to pay $850 a month for this house. Really, 6 years you're not getting, you're paying no rent? Come on. There's got to be some accountability here. You're the ombudsman. You're supposed to know about this stuff. And here you are getting free rent every month, and it doesn't dawn on you over 6 years that something may be amiss. You don't go to somebody in your department and go, hey, you know, I'm renting this house from the city and you guys aren't sending me a bill. What's up with that? Why is that? And by the way, she now earns $76,000 a year. $76,000 a year. No, there you go. To me, it's just it just doesn't pass the smell test to me. I think somebody's got to be a little more accountable than that, because the taxpayers of North Charleston, guess what? You've been paying this rent for the past 6 years. You've been paying the rent and the taxes on the property for the past 6 years. Folks in North Charleston, you ought to be up in arms about this. With a lot of people, not only with Sherry Pearson, but with her supervisors and the folks there at City Hall as well. 7:59 at the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Ombudsman. Now, here's the official definition. It is a person who is charged with representing the interest of the public by investigating and addressing complaints of maladministration or violation of rights. Maladministration. Mal, meaning bad administration. And I would think if I were the ombudsman and I was sitting in a home and I haven't received a rent bill for about 3 months, I would say, Mr. Mayor, I kind of need a bill. You know, I'm ombudsman here and I'm not being charged for my lodging, if you will. I think I want to pay my rent. But apparently that didn't go on for about 6 years. Now, I know we get busy. I am well aware that we get busy. You know, the holidays are coming up. Well, you know, things slip. They slip your mind. But she didn't pay her bill because she didn't get the bill. But still, I don't think that's any excuse. If you go to an ATM and you withdraw $20, and it gives you $200. Guess what? You don't get to keep that $200. You're supposed to turn that back into the bank, or at least 180 of it, because you were trying to get out 20. So, and if you don't, you can be charged with that. Did you know that? You can be charged with that. So I think maybe we need to look into this a little bit more. I mean, I don't think just paying the back taxes is quite enough, at least not for me. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Coming up, we're going to have your newsmaker of the day. You could win a $20 gift certificate to sticky fingers if you know our newsmaker of the day, and that's coming up in just a few minutes. But I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in Mount Pleasant with some of these murals that they have over there. There's a business, I'm not going to name the business, but it's one of those burrito joints, that has painted a giant mural on the side of their building. And this has caused pretty much pretty big to-do over there. In fact, Will Haney posted this on his Facebook last night, and I couldn't believe some of the comments that have been made. What is art? Who decides? This isn't about art. Also talking about First Amendment rights and things like that, and too much government and the like. Listen, if you're in violation of an ordinance, okay, then you need to either pay a fine or rectify the situation. And some of these people that are making comments, I mean, these are supposed to be good conservatives out there. But the issue did come up about Thieves Market with Mayor Linda Page. You know, you go down there, you ride down down the road there in Mount Pleasant, and there's Linda Page's Thieves Market. It's a sign on the side of her building, and it's been there for years, and some people are saying this is grandfathered in, but what you're finding out is this, I mean, you got to stop it. You just got to stop it. If it is, I would say, and I don't know what kind of rules they have there with the architectural review or the zoning there in Mount Pleasant, how long you have to go back before you find out that something is grandfathered in. But if this is something that has been there for, I don't know, 20, 25 years, then it becomes a part of the community. But to come along and just put another mural up just because you feel like it, I don't know, maybe you like John Lennon, Al Capone, and Marilyn Monroe on the side of your building. Well, that's fine if you do, but paint it on the inside. How about that? So, I don't know. It worries me that these people who claim to be good conservatives are standing up and saying, well, this is just an overreach of government. No, it's not an overreach of government. The law was there before the mural was there. The law is not in violation of the mural. The mural is in violation of the law. And if that's the case, take it down. Like I said, go get some glidden paint and a roller and paint over it. It's 16 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. Let's go to Malcolm out in Somerville and say good morning, Malcolm. How are you?
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Oh, you just sound like you haven't had your coffee today. What's up?
Oh, well, the coffee is brewing.
Okay, good.
I'm a little confused about something, if you could just help me out. Now, these people, the Russians or the WikiLeaks or whoever they were, they procured information about Hillary Clinton. Is that right?
The WikiLeaks did, yes.
WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
But they also did it on Republicans. Is that right?
Yes.
But they didn't talk about the Republicans. They only talked about the Democrats.
Right. And the reason was Julian Assange said there was nothing there.
There was nothing there.
Right.
If there's nothing there, why would they? I mean, you know, that doesn't seem right to me.
Well, why not?
Did that seem right to you, Mr. James?
Well, if they hacked into the Republican databases and they hacked into the Democrat databases and they leaked this information or emails from the Democrats but didn't about the Republicans, and then they said there was just nothing there to leak, then what's the issue?
Well, I just can't believe that. But anyway,
okay.
You're good with that?
Oh, well, you know, I got to take them at their word. Now, maybe what this will do is maybe that this will be a wake-up call to our government that we need more security as far as our internet is concerned. And maybe we shouldn't allow, I don't know, government officials to have private servers in a bathroom.
Okay, well, one more thing before you go.
Okay.
Have you got any more information on when Donald Trump is going to release his tax information?
I got as much information as you do, Malcolm. As much information as you
do. Doing the right thing, but I was wondering, you know, if you told it later about doing the right thing in character. So yeah. I don't think the Republicans are showing much character when they can go over the WikiLeaks people talking about it and down in Hillary Clinton, but there's no information on them. That doesn't show me much character.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. That's the Democrats for you. Boy, I tell you what, it's like Chris Plant said, it must be good to be a liberal. It must be good to be a Democrat. Jerome's in North Charleston. Good morning, Jerome.
Hey, man. How are you?
Good. What's up?
First of all, I'm glad to see that the Democrat and Republicans agreed to check on this Russian hacking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of tired of the people who are associating what this administration did in Israel as the same as what Russia's been doing for over decades throughout Europe and also in America. I think what they are doing, what this administration did, is no different than what Donald Trump people, the Jews who went to Israel for Donald Trump, did. They were both working against Netanyahu for Donald Trump. So
Who was working against Netanyahu for Donald Trump?
I said, no. Just like this administration, you know, people were saying they send people over to Israel to interfere with their election.
Right. Obama did.
Okay. And the people from America went over with Donald Trump campaign just as equally to help him get elected. So to make it seem like it was rigging or fake news the same way the Russians are infiltrating is really false. The second thing is that this attorney Brock, with this child who killed the people in the church, I think we need to see that it's people on the white racist radio station that have said for 7 or 8 years now, we got to win our country back. Everything Dylan Roth is saying is almost like from the time he was 13 that black man went in the White House till he was 21, he heard white men and women on radio stations saying, we got to win our country back. He felt black people were taking over America. And every time he killed those black people in the church, he was saying with each bullet, this is for raping our white woman. This is for taking over our white country. So he's been brainwashed by the same people who are Ku Klux Klan, white supremacists that a lot of people don't seem to want to recognize.
I don't. You know what? It's blanket statements like that, Jerome, that do no good whatsoever.
What's the blanket statement?
The blanket statement about the alt-white, alt-right, and the Republicans and all that. You're talking to a conservative right now who thinks Dylan Roof should not only be executed, he should be executed in the least humane way possible.
I'm the most conservative on the radio station who was saying we got to win our country back. Like, we lost the country because a black man was in the race.
No, we were not. No, you totally misunderstand that statement, Jerome. Winning our country back has nothing to do with race. Nothing whatsoever. No. It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with a philosophy that this idea of American exceptionalism has gone by the wayside for the past 8 years with Obama. How many times has this man gone to another country and run down this nation in front of foreign audiences? Plenty of times.
Have you heard the black people for the many years that they've been white president, have we ever said we got to lose our country or win our country back? We were Americans. We fought for this country every time there was a war. And right now, the way we are dividing this country, anybody, China, Russia, anybody can win because we're so divided in this country among ourselves.
Jerome, you're taking it completely wrong. When they say, and folks say, we need to take our country back, we need to make America great again, we need to do this, it's talking about black, white, all legal American citizens. The Republican Party and the conservative movement want everybody to be a part of this. They want everybody to enjoy prosperity. They want everybody to enjoy freedom from too much government interference. They want everybody at the table. Everybody. Case in point, Jim Brown met with Donald Trump in Trump Tower yesterday. Kanye West met with Donald Trump in Trump Tower yesterday. Jim Brown, who I'm sure some folks will stand up and say, oh, well, he's just an Uncle Tom. Now, you won't say it to his face because he'll push his big old fist right through your mouth. But this guy says he fell in love with Donald Trump because he believes that Donald Trump is going to help the African-American community. I don't remember Jim Brown saying that he fell in love with Barack Obama. Really, you expect me to get off the phone with Malcolm and Jerome back-to-back and be in a good mood? No, not going to happen. All right, it's 9 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. This story affects us right here in Charleston. American workers at the Carnival Corporation, Carnival Cruise Lines, said they got a Merry Christmas this year when they had a little town hall meeting and told them that hundreds of college graduate employees with Carnival Cruise Lines were going to be let go in February, and that until that time, these employees were going to be charged with training their replacements. You have to train your replacement. Matthew Culver, who is a senior Miami-based IT worker with Carnival, said, "I'm still processing my emotions and disbelief after 20 years in the industry. This is one of the hardest things I've had to deal with. I never thought this could happen to me after so many years of experience, education, and hard work." He says that on December the 6th, Carnival workers were asked to attend a town hall meeting, said they were informed that 200 to 300 of their jobs were going to be terminated, and the jobs were going to be outsourced by a company called Capgemini. I think I'm saying that's right. It's a French word. Who knows how they pronounce it over there. They said our last day at Carnival will be February the 3rd, and we're going to be training foreign workers inside and outside the United States to take over our jobs, and that they are not guaranteed any future with the company. The workers are in Florida, California, and Washington State. They must decide by December the 19th if they plan to train their foreign replacements and work with the outsourcing company in their goal of offshoring the jobs. Mr. Trump, is it time for you to put out a tweet about Carnival? Yes, sir.
I just recently returned from a Carnival cruise on the Carnival cruise ship Valor.
Yeah.
I found no one that worked on that ship that did not speak without an accent.
Right, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
Hey.
You know, I mean, I know a lot of these cruise ships are their home port is all over the world, really. But to tell American workers here in the United States that they're going to be losing their jobs, and not only that, just to add insult to injury, they're going to have to train their replacement now. Now, how motivated are you going to be? Because why? Cheap foreign labor. Cheap foreign labor. I've always said you can get things done fast, cheap, and good, but you can only pick two. So if you get something cheap and good, it's not going to be fast. If you get something, you know how the thing goes. So you hire cheap, you're going to get what you get. So I think this is why, and this is why Donald Trump won that election. It's not a racial thing. It's simply because people and Americans are sick and tired of these industries taking jobs that Americans have done for so many years and just shipping them overseas. Let's go town and talk to Robert. Good morning, Robert. How are you?
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Want to tell you about something called the Jones Act.
Mm-hmm.
The Jones Act applies to ships that carry passengers from one port to another in the United States.
Right.
And so it applies to all the cruise ships. It's a horrible piece of legislation written for protectionists of the unions, because the law says if you have a ship that carries paying passengers from one port to another in the U.S., you have to have a union crew.
Right.
And they have to all be U.S. citizens.
Mm-hmm.
As well as the ship has to be flagged under the United States flag, which puts them under Coast Guard regulations,
right,
which are antiquated. And I was an IT person working as a contractor on a ship that got refurbed. And the things they had to take out safety equipment, modern safety equipment, and replace it with 50-year-old technology sometimes to meet the Coast Guard regs because the regs were 50 years old.
Right, right.
But that's why, because you can't, that's why all the cruise ships go from one port in the United States to a foreign port,
yeah,
and not from one U.S. port to another. That's why we don't have a cruise going up and down the eastern seaboard. They have to leave Charleston and go to the Bahamas or some other foreign country to get around the Jones Act.
So is that, but let me ask you, Robert, as somebody who knows, does that count for, like, if I go from Charleston to Lauderdale and my final point of destination is the Bahamas, does that still count?
Nope, that trip from Charleston to Lauderdale would put that ship under the Jones Act.
Okay, and they would have to hire union employees and abide by maritime law.
No, they have to be flagged under the U.S. flag.
Okay,
which is extremely expensive, and they have to have the crew has to be U.S. citizens.
Right,
and have to be unionized.
That's interesting.
If you want to fix the cruise industry and have the cruises, explode in terms of, providing more services at a better price and be able to go up and down the eastern seaboard, then get rid of the Jones Act.
Yeah, there you go.
It was just feather bedding for the unions.
Robert, I appreciate that, man. That's some great insight into this. Let's go to West Ashley and talk to Dorian. Good morning, Dorian.
Hey, Charlie.
Hello.
This is Dorian, and I just returned from a Norwegian cruise.
Mm-hmm.
That left out of Port Canaveral in Orlando, and every one of the people that worked on that cruise were foreign. I don't believe I ever saw one American. They were all very articulate, very nice, very clean. It was a great cruise, and that I did notice that there were no Americans working on that cruise.
Yeah, when I went on my honeymoon, really the only Americans that I saw during the whole cruise that were the staff was the majority of the performers on the cruise.
Well, actually, I went to a stage show called Burn the Floor.
Mm-hmm.
And none of those, very, very, maybe one or two of those performers in that dance performance were American.
Really?
They were from all other other countries. And then there was a band there that I listened to just about every night. They were all Orientals.
How about that? That's interesting.
But you wouldn't know they were Orientals,
right?
But by looking at them, but they did a really good job of singing all other artists' music. But it was a great cruise.
All right. Well, Dorian, I appreciate it, but it's just it's disconcerting to me that you've got a company like Carnival, who I will guarantee you the vast majority of the people getting on that boat are Americans. You know, we've got them right here in Charleston, that they're laying off about 300 of their workers. And not only are they laying them off, they're going to have to train their replacements. We saw the same thing with Disney. And I guess it was a couple of months ago, I think it was about 6 months ago, maybe longer than that. 6 months ago, I was in Washington, D.C. for the FAIR conference, the immigration reform conference that we were having down there. And I got to talk to a guy who had lost his job at Disney as a programmer and had to train his replacement. It's just, to me, it's just disgusting. I cannot stand it. Welcome, President Trump.
Charlie James in the morning. Stimulating talk all day. WTMA.
Charleston. A Cumulus station.
556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. We've been talking a little bit about character this morning, and I thought it was a great call a little while ago where the caller said, character is what you do when no one's listening, looking. And that is exactly right. That is who you really are, your character. And I got to hand it to Brian Adams, what he has done. He was elected about 5 weeks ago to the Berkeley County School Board. He resigned his seat because there were some state laws that are against holding two offices. He says that the Constitution says no person may hold two offices of honor or profit at the same time. And the state attorney general has issued several opinions on that. and says that police officers are indeed included. Now, Brian Adams said that he had another job lined up so that he could be on the school board, but that job fell through. And so he did what he thought was the right thing, and he stepped down. He resigned. He didn't go to court. He didn't file a lawsuit. He didn't go to Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or, in some cases, LinkedIn. He didn't do any of that. He did what a man does. He knew the law. He did his best to make sure that he was in compliance with the law. And then when that was not, that option was not available to him, he resigned. He stepped down. That's what a man does. That's what a man does. A man doesn't whine about it. A man doesn't cry about it. I'm sure he regrets it, and I'm sure it broke his heart to have to do it. But that's what it takes. It takes sometimes just doing the doggone tough thing. And the right thing isn't always the easy thing. Remember that. In a lot of cases, it's the last thing you want to do. But people like Brian Adams, who said, you know what, I'm in violation of the law here. I tried to work it out, but it didn't happen, so I'm stepping down. So kudos to you, sir. Kudos to you. You are a fine example for our young folks out there, and I appreciate what you've done. That was fantastic. Unlike the folks that are crying over in Mount Pleasant, like they got nothing else to worry about over there. There's a mural on a building, one of the businesses over there. It's got John Lennon, and this is one of the weirdest murals. And you got to wonder what these three have in common. I mean, it might be a game show. What do these three folks have in common? John Lennon, Al Capone, and Marilyn Monroe on a giant mural over in Mount Pleasant. And it kind of blew up last night on Will Haney's Facebook page where he posted this. And he says, he's sharing this from my town council Facebook page. I like wall murals, but there's a proper way to have them without selectively enforcing existing ordinances. So there are ordinances against giant murals like this in Mount Pleasant. And there's a lot of people that are getting on there and say, what's wrong with it? What's wrong? Well, it's against the ordinance. It doesn't matter how pretty it is. It doesn't matter if you consider it art or if anybody else considers it art or graffiti or what have you. It violates the ordinance. So instead of sitting around and whining about it, you just do the right thing. Now, unfortunately, I'm sure that this mural was extremely expensive to be painted. And I'm sure a lot of money was put into it. But before the money was put into it, this business owner should have done their due diligence, checked with the town, said, hey, I would really love to have this mural up in my business. Can I do that? And then I'm sure we would have saved a lot of money in this whole case. So you get people on there on this Facebook page and they're complaining, oh, it's too much government. It's government overreach. It's yada, yada, yada. When that's not the story, it's just, are you or are you not going to comply with the law? And some of these people that were making some of the comments, I was pretty shocked at. You know? So, whoa, this is more, it's just, look at this, just more government overreach. How come when it affects you or something you like, it's government overreach? But if it's something that you don't like, then you need to be compliant with the law. I mean, like I said earlier this morning, what if this were a mural of Che Guevara and Fidel Castro there in Mount Pleasant? What if, and maybe even its brother Raul, the new El Presidente of Cuba. What if that were up there? Three highly recognizable figures, but certainly there would have been a lot more public outcry. You need to take that down. I'll never visit your business again, yada, yada, yada. Well, simple fact is, it's not in compliance with the law. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. I would certainly love to talk to you this morning and want to talk a little bit more about this, the ombudsman there in North Charleston who lived rent-free in a home for 6 years. Sherry Pearson, who is now making about $76,000 a year, longtime city employee. She's the ombudsman, and she was basically living in this home for about 6 years, rent-free, because it was an oversight, fell through the cracks. So now she's going to have to pay, or has agreed to pay back, $34,650 in back rent. So that's going to take her rent up to about $800 a month. $450 of that will be for her back payments. But still, this is the ombudsman for North Charleston. You're supposed to be there serving the public interest. Is it the public interest to sit in a home rent-free for 6 years? And that didn't cross your mind that something was amiss here? Oh, well. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Let's go to Mount Pleasant and talk to Coffee. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
That Christmas tree present.
Yeah. We got that coming up at 9:20.
9:20?
Yeah, 9:20. I'll tell you when to call, and you can do that and try to win one of the great prizes on our Christmas tree. And again, that's coming up in just a little bit. All right, so we got that for you. If you are planning on getting your kid one of those, I hate them. I really do. I think they're kind of silly. The hoverboard. World Trading is issuing a recall for these self-balancing scooters called hoverboards. It's according to the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. And they've had a lot of trouble with these things because the lithium-ion battery overheat and catch fire or even explode. About 19 units have been recalled, and they were sold on certain shopping programs. You guys know you like to watch the Home Shopping Network and things like that. So if you bought one of those there, and it is from this company, Orbit Brand Self-Balancing Scooters, you certainly want to make sure you stop using them. Contract World Trading to exchange the hoverboard for a free UL-certified replacement hoverboard. And that way you can look silly and be safe at the same time. 15 minutes past 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
This is fantastic. I feel all tingly all over.
On 1250 WTMA.
There's more Charlie James coming up next on WTMA.
If you are expecting a Christmas delivery from Cartagena, Homeland Security might want to talk to you. U.S. Customs and Border Protection and Homeland Security seized a large shipment of cocaine once it got here to Charleston. This, according to a news release, officials say the shipment of cocaine originated in Cartagena, Colombia, and was destined for South Carolina. It was discovered as part of Homeland Security and Customs and Border Protection's regular duties in investigating people and goods entering the United States. They're working to learn the source of the drugs and their intended recipients. Maybe you walk down, look at the dock, and see if anybody's just kind of hanging around, peering out over the horizon to see if their shipment of cocaine has showed up. So we don't have a whole lot of details at this time because it's an ongoing investigation. But if you do suspect drug trafficking and suspicious activity, you can get in touch with ICE and the Department of Homeland Security at 1-866-DHS-2-ICE. That's 1-866-DHS-2-ICE. Oh, good. 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 I hope somebody out there is disappointed that their cocaine shipment didn't show up on time. Doggone it, what are you going to do? I want to get in touch with Amazon and check my tracking. All right, it's 9:23 at the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Glad to have you on the program this morning. Give us a call. 556-1250 is the number to be on with us. A little bit more about what's going on in the Dylan Roof case coming up. Let's go to Chris in Somerville. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
I was just wanting to make a comment. This is about, about 11 years ago. Me and my wife and some family took a cruise out of Charleston on Norwegian cruise line. And it was interesting because I learned something on that cruise line. Like they said, everybody on there was foreign.
Right.
And in the sports bar, that was one of the smoking bars on the ship. So I smoked, so I'd go to the sports bar.
Right.
And my bartender was a Muslim guy. and he was from Indonesia. And I started talking with him, and I asked him, I said, well, isn't this, like, against your religion to be serving me alcohol?
Right.
And he goes, absolutely not. He goes, if I wasn't working, he goes, I'd be on the other side of the bar with you.
Ah.
And I was like, really? And he was like, yeah. He goes, that's under Sharia law. He goes, if I'm in a country with Sharia, I have to abide by that. He goes, but us moderate guys, he goes, I got a tattoo on my arm. He goes, I'll drink alcohol with you. He goes, you know, no big deal.
Right. And that's the difference. There are Muslims out there who go about their business every day. They're very peaceful. They love America. They love, you know, our Constitution and our law. But there are a lot of folks out there that are under Sharia and the radical Muslims, and those are really the ones we got to worry about. But unfortunately, it's hard to vet the two.
Well, there's he was a guy that you could totally, like, hang out with.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. But another funny thing is on the backside of the deck, they were having a cookout, and the cooks were two Jamaican guys, and they got into a fist fight. They knocked the grill over, whole thing was freaking hilarious.
Oh, my God.
That's the only cruise I've been on, and it was nice and it was fun. But
yeah.
You do learn some things about some different cultures by the workers that are there, and they were all nice,
yeah.
Except for the two Jamaican guys that went at it, but they were going at each other, not any of the passengers. So.
Man, that had to be kind of scary. A fire on a ship is nothing you want to mess with.
Oh, yeah. No. The crew was on it, like, ASAP. And I'm sure if they had a break, those guys were in it. But anyways, I just want to share that with you.
I appreciate it, Chris. I could see these two guys, they just kind of set them adrift on a dinghy behind the boat and say, you guys stay back there. You're not starting any fires here. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. And the reason that Chris was talking about this, Carnival Cruise has announced that about 300 of their employees are going to be let go. American employees are going to be let go, and they're going to have to train their replacements. And their last day, I think, is February 2nd or 3rd coming up. So Merry Christmas to you folks out there at Carnival Cruise Lines. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Polly Shepard, a survivor of the Emmanuel 9 shooting, is going to be testifying today. This is today pretty much going to wrap up the prosecution's case against Dylann Roof. We're going to have the medical examiner giving testimony today. And the judge has said, listen, if the family doesn't want to be in here for that, I completely understand. You can excuse yourself. No questions asked, because you can certainly imagine to sit there and listen to what happened to your loved one and the injuries that were sustained during that shooting. I mean, that would that'd just absolutely be probably too much to ask somebody to sit there and listen to. So that's going to be happening first. That should say, we were talking with Attorney Juan Talley earlier this morning. That should take a couple of hours, that testimony, to hear about the injuries that the victim sustained from that Glock 45 that Dylann Roof had purchased up in Columbia. So then we're going to hear from Polly Shepard today. Polly is a survivor of this case, of this this tragedy. That should pretty much, these two testimonies should pretty much wrap this thing up for Dylann Roof. I don't know how, if you're a jury, you can sit there and listen to this testimony. First of all, the medical examiner, that's going to be gut-wrenching. Like I said, just to hear the injuries that these people sustained, and then to hear from a survivor, and it's probably going to be a very emotional time for Polly Shepard and everybody there in the courtroom to hear that. I don't see how you come back. I mean, he's going to be found guilty. I mean, that's just it. That's going to happen. So the defense... David Brock is looking like he's going to bring maybe three witnesses to the stand in Dylann Roof's defense. And I think at this point, defense is really an inappropriate word. Probably going to be trying to bring back some people, talking about Dylann Roof's mental and emotional health during that time and afterwards. And it's just, I don't know. Basically, what they're trying to do, what Brock is trying to do, is keep Dylann Roof from being executed. However, when we hear these two testimonies from the medical examiner and Polly Shepard, I don't think there's going to be any doubt in the world that coming back in January, now we could know a verdict tomorrow morning. We could know a verdict sometime tomorrow. I don't think I'm going out on too much of a limb here to say that verdict is probably going to be guilty. It's definitely going to be guilty of murder. Then they will move into the penalty phase, and that will happen sometime after the first of the year. We'll find out the fate of Dylann Roof. But I think all of this has pretty much been settled by now. Some of this testimony, we found out that he came down to Charleston about six times, planning his route to Mother Emanuel AME Church over on Calhoun Street. He not only had that church, but he had a list of other traditionally African-American churches in his car. And just the amount of evidence that they have against this kid is overwhelming. So I think the end is near for Dylann Roof. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Coming up next, it's been a tough week for law enforcement over in Georgia. We'll tell you those cases coming up on the Big Talker WTMA. Good morning.
Michael Savage Afternoons. Stimulating talk all day. WTMA 1250
Charleston. Sorry, I apologize. I got so wrapped up in that Dylann Roof trial that I forgot the Christmas tree. All right, we'll take your call right now. 556-1250. That's 556-1250 if you would like to play the game. Now, we've got a Christmas tree here at 1250 WTMA. There were 18 bulbs on it. Each bulb contains a prize. And, of course, Irving the Elf loves to smash those bulbs. So let's go out to caller 5 right now and say good morning. Who is this? Hello?
Hello?
Hey,
hello?
Who's this?
Martha.
Martha, how are you this morning?
I'm great, thanks.
All right, Martha, pick yourself a bulb off the tree. Let's see what you'll win.
Ooh, how about number 6?
Number 6. All right, Irving, are you ready to smash bulb number 6, buddy?
Boy, am I. I love smashing bulbs. Here we go. Smash.
I know. Stop. Stop it.
I love smashing bulbs.
I know you do. All right, number 6. What did they win, Irving?
You just won a free class at Wine and Design.
How about that? A free class at Wine and Design. That sounds like a lot of fun for you. Some of your friends there. Congratulations. I appreciate you playing the game. And Martha, I'm going to put you on hold here. And Fred Story is going to get your information from you. Irving, did you enjoy doing that, buddy?
Oh, I love smashing bulbs.
I know.
I'm smashing your bulb next.
That's right. Tomorrow morning, 7:20, Irving will be once again smashing your bulbs to find out what you will win. Now, I do need to tell you this. The one-night stay at the sanctuary, Still on the board. All right. We've got, let me just double check here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We've got 12 left. 12 bulbs left on the tree. And you could be the next winner. That's tomorrow morning, 7:20. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Of course, Donald Trump meeting with Kanye West yesterday at Trump Tower. And a lot of folks, you know, the late night folks had a lot to say about this. Here's Jimmy Kimmel.
Trump and Kanye, actually, they do have a lot in common if you think about it. They're both fashion designers. They both go on Twitter rants. They both use all caps. They both have very high self-esteem. They're both married to models. They both do reality shows with their families. They both like to interrupt people. And they're both people of color, in Donald's case, orange. So.
Oh, there you go. Well, I thought you were a big fan of Kanye there. Jimmy Kimmel, Seth Meyers weighed in.
Kanye West met with Donald Trump at Trump Tower today. No word on what they interrupted each other about.
Oh, there you go. So Donald Trump meeting with Kanye West yesterday. Kanye said that he was talking to the president-elect about social issues. He said, you know, as the next president of the United States, he wanted to discuss with him things about, like, bullying and, you know, the African-American community and things like that. So Kanye West, and folks just lost their minds about it. They really did. Could you imagine? Here's Kanye West walking into Trump Tower, and people going, "What?" And then, all right, now here's the thing. I don't know if you guys have seen the video, when Donald Trump met with Kanye, he kind of gave him the brother handshake there and did the little man hug. Didn't Donald Trump look more comfortable doing that than Obama? I think he looked a lot more comfortable at the man hug than Obama does. Obama just looks, it just seems awkward when he does it. Stop doing that. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Of course, oh, and James Corden also talked about Trump meeting with Kanye.
However, the big news story today was not Donald Trump's Secretary of State pick or Russia's hacking of the election. No, the big news story today was Donald Trump's meeting with Kanye West. The two met in Trump's apartment. What could these two have to talk about, though? I can't think of anything they could possibly have in common. They are completely, totally different people from two different worlds. I mean, Trump goes on these crazy Twitter rants at 3 a.m, and Kanye, well, he also does that all the time. But, I mean, one of them famously appears on a huge reality show, and the other one... Okay, yeah, that was...
Yeah, okay, yeah.
...was also on a huge reality show, but one of them's constantly claiming that award shows are rigged, and the other... That's a bad example. That... No, look, when Kanye said he was going to run for president, we all dismissed it as a silly joke. But when Trump said he was running... Damn it! That's... One of them is married to a woman who's done numerous nude photo shoots, and the other... Oh, come on!
All right, we get the joke. We get the joke. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning, but what did Donald Trump actually say about Kanye West's wife, Kim Kardashian?
Kim Kardashian is now registering for baby shower gifts. So obviously there's a little bit of controversy because some people say, oh, she has all this money. You know, what is she doing asking for gifts? I'm sure you... know a lot of friends with a lot of money who have babies. There's nothing wrong with putting out for gifts, even if you got the cash, is there?
No, I don't think there is. And she's a nice person. I've known her over the years, and she's really a nice person. And she's gotten a little bit large. I would say this. I don't think you should dress like you weigh 120 pounds.
No, why not? But why not? She feels good about herself.
Well, I think that's great. If she feels good about herself, AJ, do it, Kim.
All right. There that's you not go. Such a big deal. So,
I think we all remember the Kim Kardashian pregnancy pictures. I think we all do. All right. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Oh, just sad news. As Alan Thicke passed away yesterday, age of 69, apparently, and this 69-year-old guy, and he's out playing hockey with his son and collapsed. At first, they didn't know who it was that collapsed on the rink because, you know, they're wearing helmets and pads and all of that. So he collapsed and passed away yesterday at the age of 69. What an amazing career that he has had. And I played this a little bit earlier this morning. I just want to remind you, even without acting, just the amount of theme songs that we know that Alan Thicke has written.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some. They got different strokes and takes, different strokes and takes.
Take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life.
Yeah.
The facts of life.
Ah! Fortune!
There you go. So, different strokes, facts of
it's
life.
Joker's wife.
Wheel of
and
Fortune.
Now here's the host of our show, Jack Perry.
Joker's Wild. I mean, it's just an unbelievable career by Alan Thicke. He will certainly be missed. And, of course, we all remember him from his television show. He was on Growing Pains.
Yes. Mike? It is Mike, isn't it? No, it couldn't be. My Mike was supposed to be home at 1 a.m.
Dad, I know I missed my curfew.
Oh, well, you admit you have one. That's progress.
Hey, Dad, isn't tonight the time when we turn the clocks back to the time change?
No, Mike, that's in October, which is when you're going to be grounded till unless you give me a good explanation where you've been.
Okay.
No. Wait. Let me get comfortable.
All right, so that's Alan Thicke in Growing Pains. Man, just 2016 has been a rough year for celebrities. How many have we lost over the past several months? And since the beginning of the year, I mean, David Bowie, Prince, Alan Thicke, just a bad, bad year for... I know a lot of folks in Hollywood are saying, come on, get over with. Get over with 2016. It's about 18 minutes until 9 o'clock on the... until 10 o'clock, rather, on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. All right, if you're wondering about Donald Trump's cabinet picks, looks like he wants Michigan Republican Party chairwoman Ronna Romney McDaniel, to be the national party chairman. He wants her to head the RNC. Now, the choice of McDaniel was confirmed last night by a person who they say is familiar with Trump's decision. And the reason that she is being picked to be the head of the RNC is that the Republicans carried Michigan for the first time in 28 years. For the first time in 28 years, Michigan went red. And I know you all remember election night as we were sitting around watching those returns. And when Michigan fell, remember they had this, they had the blue wall. That's what they called it. It was Hillary Clinton's blue wall. It was impenetrable. These are the states she's going to win hands down. And when Michigan fell, everybody just went, oh my God, it's over. It's over for Hillary. And this woman, Michigan Republican Party chairwoman, Ronna Romney McDaniel, certainly has to be congratulated for her work she did in Michigan in getting that state to turn red and helping out Donald Trump win the election. Oh, and don't worry, by the way, you've been hearing a lot about the these electors that are going to flip. Listen, put that out of your mind. Put that out of your mind, because these guys know. And there may be one, there may be two. On the outside chance, there may be three. But certainly not enough to sway this election. And the ones that are looking at maybe going over to the dark side and voting for the dark Sith, those are the people who realize that their future in the Republican Party is over. They're done. Because these folks, electors, are pretty much the party loyalist, the higher-ups in the party, and they've got a lot to lose if they do this. So all of you guys out there and women that are electors, if you were thinking about flipping your electoral vote, well, just understand that you have pretty much sealed your deal with the Republican Party. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. It's 15 minutes until 10 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. 9:50, it's 10 minutes until 10 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. I tweeted this a little earlier this morning. Let's go down to the land of crazy, Florida. Two guys went to a party at Fort Walton Beach, Florida this weekend. They left around 3 o'clock in the morning. They got a ride home from two women, 26-year-old named Shelly Adair and another 26-year-old named April Garcia Bonilla. And once they got to the guy's place, Shelly and April told them, hey, let's go up to your place. Now, the ladies, let's say, aren't quite Instagram models, to put it mildly. Maybe they're not even MySpace models. I don't know. But it's safe to say they don't fit the classical definition of attractive. So the guy said, oh, no, you know what? Thank you very much. We appreciate the ride home, but I think it's going to end right here. No. The women weren't having none of that. And since the guys didn't want to go upstairs and get amorous with them, Shelly and April responded by robbing them. They pulled a knife over the guys. The guys handed $200 over to them. Shelly and April took off. The cops quickly tracked down their car and arrested them for armed robbery. And looking at these pictures, those guys got a deal. Those guys got the deal of the century. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. A little bit earlier, we had a caller telling us about this local news story that was reported. It didn't happen here, but one of our local stations reported it about this waitress who got a credit card receipt. You know, they bring the bill and the credit card, yada, yada. You put the tip on there and sign it and off on your business. Well, apparently, there was a message She says it was a, well, there was no tip, first of all. They didn't leave a tip on the bill, which is bad. You shouldn't do that. But apparently on the receipt was written, build the wall, Trump daddy-o, or something like that. That was it. And she was offended by it. Oh, I can't believe someone would write something so patently offensive to humanity. I didn't see anything sexist. There wasn't anything racist on it. It was just, first of all, if it even happened. And I'm finding, and I know you are, you got to do is look on the internet. A lot of these people that are claiming that they are victims of hate crimes because of Donald Trump, they're being discredited completely. And their stories are being debunked. There was one Muslim who was who said that some Trump supporters set fire to a mosque. Well, guess who's going to jail this week? He is, because he set the fire himself. So we've been hearing all about fake news lately. It's all about fake news. You know who the number one fake news source is in this country? The number one fake news source is a liberal Democrat from Culver City, California. Culver City, California. And this guy, his name is Kohler. He runs a company called Disinformedia, and they own a ton of fake news sites. I mean, a ton of them. So when you talk about all of this fake news, this is the guy you're talking about, a liberal Democrat out of California who puts out all of this crazy information in hopes that somebody will take it and run with it. This isn't Trump doing it. This isn't the quote-unquote alt-right doing it. This isn't conservatives or Republicans doing it. It's the liberal left trying to cause trouble. That's just kind of how they do. Let's go to do Joey out on James Island. Good morning, Joey. How are you?
Hey, doing great.
Yes, sir.
Came in on the tail end of y'all's conversation about the employees on the Carnival Cruise Line.
Right, yeah.
I'm probably going to make a lot of people mad, but I tell you, I just don't see anything wrong with Carnival Cruise Line hiring non-Americans. I mean, it's their company.
Right.
They should be able to do anything they want to. And, you know, try to get some Americans or that would work for the same wages as these other people are going to be working for.
All right, so you don't have a problem, Joey, with a company like Carrier moving their company overseas. You don't have a problem with Oreos being made in Mexico. You don't have a problem with all of these. All right, what's going to happen to Americans with all these jobs disappear like they've been doing?
Well, I don't really have as their company, if they can make a product cheaper by, say, going to Mexico, I'm all for it. But what Donald Trump is doing is offering these people incentives, tax breaks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see these companies stay here because of these tax breaks, and it'll be cheaper than going to Mexico and carrying your jobs overseas. If they're going to start getting tax breaks and it's cheaper to make stuff here, I'm all for that. I'm all for a company doing what they have to do to survive.
Okay. All right, Joey, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I'm not for a company that comes along and says, hey, we're shipping your jobs overseas, and by the way, you have to train your replacement. What kind of a slap in the face is that? But that is what we have become accustomed to here in this country. I mean, Disney did it. So hopefully the new Trump administration will be able to get out there and get some of these companies to invest more in America. I mean, my God, how much money does Carnival Cruise Line make from American passengers? Don't you think that Carnival has some sort of a moral obligation to the company that, or to the country that pretty much is their bread and butter? Okay, well, fine. Why don't we do this? Why don't we just increase the fee for you to park your little ship there in Charleston? Well, you can't do that. Yeah, oh, they would scream then, wouldn't they? they would be completely up in arms. Oh, we just can't do business here anymore. Well, if you hired more Americans, you might be able to do business here. And that's, I mean, that's just, it's just, you know, this country provides opportunity. And this is, man, we see that everywhere we turn. This, they will, they hate this country. And not necessarily in the case of Carnival Cruise Line. But a lot of people would come along and they just, they hate this country. They want to burn the flag. They don't want to stand during the playing of the national anthem. They want to blah, 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 blah. But boy, they'll take that money, won't they? They'll take that money every single time. And it's just completely disingenuous to me when companies do that. I can't stand it. It'd be like them saying, you know, some carriage company here in Charleston saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring in, you know, some foreigners, and we're going to take all the tour guides. And you tour guides need to train these foreigners, and they're going to go around and give the tours of Charleston. Really? You're okay with that just because they can go and do it cheaper? You know what? When you... it's just throwing good money after bad. Unless you invest in the country that is actually your bread and butter, then pretty soon, people are going to get tired of it. Absolutely. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That 556-1250. Would love to have you on the program. Just got about a minute left here in the show. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow morning, we will have your newsmaker of the day coming up at 8:20. Also at 7:20 and 9:20, we're going to be giving you a chance to go to the WTMA Christmas tree, pick a bulb, and Irving the Elf going to smash it. The prize that is inside, well, it's going to be yours. Let's just tell you a couple of things that are still on the tree right now. We have a great flex package from Pure Theater. It is really, really nice. We got some other tickets to Pure Theater. We've still got River Dogs prize packages on there. We've got Acme Low Country Kitchen, another gift certificate from them. We have got a gift certificate to Coconut Joe's, Stella Nova, Ghost Monkey Brewery, and of course, that one night stay at the Sanctuary out in Kiowa. We'll have that for you tomorrow morning. We will see you then. Y'all have a great day. All right? Bye, y'all.
Charlie James in the morning. Stimulating talk all day. WTMA.